and welcome to Beyond the Bio. Stay tuned this week to learn more about what it's like to be a trustee of a charity and how you can excel in the role. We've covered the topic of trustees and non-exec directors a couple of times on the show now, and it's always a really popular topic. It was also one of the chapters that I've had the most feedback on in my book From Unknown to Unforgettable. So I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to bring in somebody from a charity that I know very well, the amazing Helen Boyd, who is our centre manager at SmartWorks Newcastle, which is the charity that I chair. I thought it would be helpful to speak to someone who is employed by a charity and who gets to spend a lot of time with trustees to see what it feels like from their perspective, how they recruit trustees that can add value and how they can add value and what it is that they should be doing to make the most of the role, make the most of the opportunity, and ultimately achieve the aims of the charity. Let's get stuck in. Welcome to Beyond the Bio, Helen. Can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Yep, so I am the Centre Manager of SmartWorks Newcastle. I've been in the role for about 3 years, but I've been with SmartWorks Newcastle for, it's coming up to 6 years.
Wow.
So I oversee the day-to-day management and running of the charity. So we provide interview clothing and coaching for unemployed women, and we work with loads of volunteers and we do all of our own fundraising. So really it's quite a varied day and there's always loads going on.
Exciting. And on the subject of volunteers, I want to talk about trustees and the role of trustees today. And of course, trustees are volunteers for charities. So thinking about the qualities and skills that make a great charity trustee, what would you suggest would be the sort of top skills and qualities that you see in good trustees?
I think they've really got to have an affinity with the organisation. So really have that sort of drive to support the mission of the charity. I think it's really important that they, in many cases, have like lived experience of what the mission of the charity is. So they kind of understand the needs of our clients and our service users. Qualities, I think, being a great listener, being really engaged in the work that we're doing and always wanting the best for the team, being really supportive with the staff team. And I think just generally always kind of flying the flag and always talking about the charity when they're out and about, because inevitably they're going to have big networks and they're going to be talking to a lot of influential people who can support and champion the charity.
Yeah, I think they're all really, really great points. What would you say are the biggest challenges in recruiting and retaining effective trustees that do all those things that you just described?
Yeah, I think it's time, it's commitment. You know, it is a massive commitment being on a charity board, particularly ours at SmartWorks. We ask a lot of our trustees and they get involved in a lot of the sort of maybe the operational stuff that you wouldn't necessarily get involved with in another charity. So they get involved with fundraising, with finance. Obviously, our treasurer's very involved in that. So I think it's that time commitment and it's that sort of being available, because, you know, a lot of them, I mean, all of ours work full time. They're professional women. They've got their careers. They've got their families. And it's kind of that balancing act and fitting it in. But we need their skills and their knowledge and their experience. So it's kind of, it's a constant juggling act to make sure that we can get their time at the right time.
I think the time thing does seem to be the challenge for it has been for our board and for other boards that I've been on and that I've seen. And I don't really know what the solution is to that, because I feel like when we advertise the roles and we go through a selection process, we're really upfront about the time commitment. And maybe it's around people that apply for the roles thinking they can do it and then actually the reality to then fit it in with all those things. So I don't really know what the solution is to that.
No, I don't. And I think a lot of charity boards, traditional boards, they meet 4 times a year and they, you know, they talk about the sort of high-end, top-level strategies. And at SmartWorks, generally, not just in Newcastle, but as a charity, the trustees have always been a lot more involved. And I think that we can sort of empower the staff team to sort of give them that confidence in decision making. And that certainly helps things. But always having that being able to contact the trustees and use them as a sounding board is really important.
I tend to, if anyone approaches me around a trustee role just generally, I tend to suggest that they do find out exactly what the setup and the commitment and the requirements are, because I think having been on a few charity boards, it is really different from charity to charity. So when I think back to when I was on the board at Age UK, it very much was the four board meetings. And then every so often there'd be something quite meaty to get stuck into, but it was the few and far between, I guess. It was very much strategic direction side of things rather than any, there was nothing that was operational. So, and then I've had the other extreme with another charity where it was super operational to the point where it was like, oh, it's almost doing the job. So I think we're probably somewhere in between those. But I think that's a really important question for anyone thinking about exploring a trustee role, to really understand what that commitment looks like, and to understand the difference between sort of strategic direction and support and that operational bit. Because sometimes, if especially if someone's new to being a trustee, the temptation is to actually do some of the operational stuff because you feel like that's where you can add value.
And you want to get involved, don't you? Because you want to know how the charity sort of runs. And I think that the challenge with a lot of small charities is they don't have the funds to pay staff in every single role. So you're inevitably going to get some skills gaps in the team. And actually, you have trustees that will then step in and kind of fill those gaps. For example, on our board, you know, we don't necessarily have anyone in our staff team who has the grants and foundations experience, but we have a board member who is brilliant at that. So she does spends a lot of time on that.
What role would you say trustees play in shaping the strategic direction of a charity?
So again, I think local knowledge is really, really important, because again, for a charity like SmartWorks Newcastle, you've got the sort of aims of the charity, the mission. We want to support lots of women into employment, but actually you have to look at what we're able to do within the sort of remit of where we're based. Obviously, the Northeast has very different challenges to the South, and there's lots of ways that we can get direction from a group level, but actually it doesn't work at a local level. So that's where the trustees are really good at coming in and going, right, we know this works for the Northeast, or other local charities have done this, and we kind of, we know our limits. So that local knowledge is really, really important for driving the strategy. And I think also holding the staff team back sometimes, because I think sometimes you can get really enthusiastic about things that you want to do, and the trustees can sometimes be like, well, actually we need to have growth in a sustainable way. And so they're really good at giving that overview and that knowledge.
Yep, I totally agree. Have you got an example that you could share where trustees have made a significant impact on the work of the charity in this case?
I think the biggest impact that our trustees have had on SmartWorks Newcastle is the networks. So the staff team, including myself, you know, my skills are very much operational, and I didn't know people across the corporate, the charity sector when I started the role. But all of the trustees, you know, the introductions that they do to their networks have meant that it's led us to funding opportunities. It's meant we've got new clients. We've opened ourselves up to new opportunities to get ambassadors, to do events. So I think the networks of trustees are brilliant. And that, I think, has probably been the most significant impact it in Newcastle.
It's interesting, isn't it, the whole sort of networking thing? And I think that's something that's really key when you're thinking about recruiting trustees, and that extra value that they can bring, that almost needs to go in the job description,
the little black book.
100%. Now this is an interesting question for you to answer. How would you say that trustees and the staff team work together effectively without stepping on each other's toes?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we as staff have a paid role, and we do, you know, all these day-to-day tasks, and we're in the service, we're living it, we're driving it. And I think sometimes an outsider might come in and go, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And I think you've got to get that balance of trying the new ideas that someone suggests, even if you think that they might not work, and really sort of weighing things up as to see what actually could work on a day-to-day level. I think good regular communication. I think the staff team and the operational staff, particularly in charities, kind of know the day-to-day and they know what's going on. But I think that the trustees sometimes, although can bring really great angles in, they sometimes maybe don't appreciate the nuances of the service day to day.
And you've got that additional dynamic as well in our charity, where we've got a group level, yeah. this group level, this head office level, if you like. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, I know you sometimes felt a bit like being pulled in different directions from the local board versus the head office and then what's going on in the centre. So I think, you know, you have to be very diplomatic around these relationships.
But it is, and it's really hard because actually we work with both, well, particularly for me, I speak to the trustees very regularly, so I know kind of what their aims and ambitions are, and they feel very personal to the region because everyone's so passionate about the region. Yet operationally and the way the charity works, we're trying to align nationally, so it's getting that balance. And again, we're the ones in it day to day, so it's kind of constantly thinking about sort of bringing in those different ideas and having the balance of the kind of the support from the region, but also the support from that national umbrella charity.
And I think that's where the communication is key, because I know we've had conversations, very open conversations over the years around, right, you know, where am I going with this? Because I'm being told one thing by the trustees, one thing by group, and this is what I think. And actually being able to just have those conversations and be open about where things sit is really helpful, because everyone's got the same ultimate goal.
Totally, that's the thing. And I think as soon as it moves off that and you see someone going in a different direction, that's where it becomes a problem. But actually, ultimately, we all want to support as many women as possible. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes I feel like particularly my role is to pull us all back, including myself sometimes, around kind of what is achievable and within those aims. And the open conversations, but also making sure the board know that me or whoever the staff team are, we feel empowered to make the day-to-day decisions, but also to have that open conversation and come if there's any challenges.
What do you think that trustees often underestimate about their role?
Well, I think we've talked about the time, but I also think maybe the legal commitment. You know, it's a legal commitment. You are registered with the Charity Commission. You are effectively, you are on a board. You're a trustee, but you're on the board of that organisation. So you have that responsibility of, you know, the financial responsibility. You have the people responsibility, health and safety, governance. And that sits with the trustees ultimately, day to day, you know, the staff team, whoever that might be, is responsible for that in their paid role. But actually, that sort of legal requirement, I think people forget sometimes that it is a legal role.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is something that is often on my mind because, yes, you sit at Charities Commission, Companies House, you know, these are mega things. And if we think about some of the high profile charity situations that have come up over the last year or two, there was, what was that kids charity called? Was it called
Kids Company?
Kids Company.
Yeah.
So that was really controversial, all the stuff that came out about that. There was a more recent one with Naomi Campbell's fashion charity. I can't remember what it was called.
Was it the business class flights?
And living in a spa for a week and all these crazy things. And actually, you know, the impact on the directors, essentially, you know, the trustees of the charity. Like, you can't just say, oh, I didn't know. You've got to be, and this is why I have a real thing around making sure that you've read the papers before a board meeting, because, you know, it's very easy to just look at the list and go, oh my God, I've got six papers to read in advance of the meeting. So you've got to plan your time well to make sure you have digested those, because if you're having a meeting to sign off the annual accounts and you've not looked at the accounts, like, that's not great. So it's all part of this governance thing, but you're right, it's that responsibility and understanding what that means, particularly if you've not had those responsibilities in your day-to-day work, because it can come and bite you on the bum if things go wrong and you've got to be all over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about diversity and inclusion, which I think is a big thing for all boards of all types. How important would you say diversity on a board of trustees is, and what steps can charities be taking to get better with it?
It's massively important because we need representation from every walk of life. It doesn't matter who you are, you know, gender, race. I think often there's this preconceived idea that if it's a women's charity, we only have women on the board. And that's not the case at all. You know, we would love to have representation from all genders in effect. And, you know, if that includes having a man on the board, that's important. Equally, women from different backgrounds is important. You know, we are a women's service ultimately, so that kind of needs to take a priority, that we have women from different backgrounds. And we're always really open to that. But again, it comes down to the availability that people have and their personal situation, and also our own networks. You know, we have to take responsibility for that. We have to make sure that our networks are casting the net as wide as they possibly can. And I think that, you know, the priorities for SmartWorks Board are things like that local knowledge, that lived experience, that kind of real sort of in-depth experience into one element of our service that we need that strategic support with. That can come from anyone in mm-hmm. any role. It doesn't have to be someone in a senior leadership role. You know, you don't have to be a director in a corporate company to sit on a board. You can be a 25-year-old PhD student, or you can be from one of our referral partners. You can work in a job centre. You know, you can be from any background. But the common denominator must be that passion for the charity, the service users, and the mission of that charity.
And I think linked to that, that's a barrier, isn't it, around sort of people's headspace around whether they think that they're suitable or mm-hmm. qualified, if you like, for the role. How do you think we can encourage more people to consider becoming trustees and understand the value that they can actually bring?
Well, we always say you can't be what you can't see. And I think we need to look at ways that we can sort of profile and platform the sort of role of trustees, not necessarily them as individuals, but what they do in their roles. And when we do recruitment, is it that we do a webinar? You know, do we do a webinar with one of our trustees where you can ask lots of questions? Do we get trustees of charities to be more visible when they're with PR and press things, sort of see the different variations and different aspects of the role? But we've got to make that visible.
Yeah. And it was interesting when we did the recent, I think it was in Trustees Week, when we did an Ask Me Anything type thing on socials. And I got quite a few questions and direct messages actually on LinkedIn when we did that. And I actually got, I can't remember if I've told you this, but I actually got a message from someone a few weeks, months, maybe, I can't remember. I got a message from someone a while ago that said, from seeing that post and asking me the question and me replying, they then put themselves forward for a board role somewhere and got it.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about us recruiting. It's, you know, it's a bit broader than that. But I thought, yeah, that's good. It's getting people thinking and it's getting people talking about those roles.
If you've got particular knowledge in something, you can add so much to a charity. You can provide so much insight. You don't need to be in a professional position, you know, like an exec director or a senior leadership role. It doesn't need to be like that. You can have that passion and that knowledge for something.
Definitely. And I think passion and knowledge, passion and enthusiasm, actually,
massively,
I think, are almost more important than anything else, because a lot of the stuff you can learn or you can find out, but you can't train someone to be passionate or enthusiastic. And I'd apply this to most things, to be fair, but I think that's really important, especially when you think about a voluntary role, which most trustee roles are. Therefore, someone's got to be enthusiastic to commit the time and the effort.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, if you could give one piece of advice to someone joining a board for the first time, what would it be?
Get to know the team. Get to know the staff team. Come in, shadow the service, get to know the volunteers, meet the clients, but get to know that staff team, see how they tick, see what their strengths and weaknesses are, see how you can support them, because they're the people who run that service every day. They're responsible for that. But actually, you can feed into that by, even if it's just being at the end of the phone or taking them out for a cuppa, if you think actually, you know, it's all getting too much, and just checking in on them, checking that they're okay, being that support. And then you build up that rapport, and it means that they can come to you with challenges and successes and all that kind of thing. But that sort of relationship needs to be there from the start.
Yeah, I would agree. That makes total sense. You know, relationship building is everything, but actually really understanding a charity, the best way to do that is through people and observing
Absolutely.
What goes on. So totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Helen, it's been great chatting to you. If anyone listening isn't connected to you, is LinkedIn the best place for them to find you?
Yep, LinkedIn and all the social media handles for SmartWorks Newcastle. We're SmartWorks NCL.
I will pop links to those in the show notes. Thank
Amazing.
You.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you're serious about growing your profile, take our free profile assessment quiz to see where you're at right now and get hints and tips on how to improve your score. You'll find the link to the quiz in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, it would be mint if you'd subscribe, like, and leave a review. See you next Monday.